Recorded.
Who's on the call already?
This is Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
I'm Dawn.
Hi, guys. How are you today?
Good.
Well, thank you for joining in again. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, very interesting.
Well, I'm glad you find some value in it. And I sent the link to the recording to Kurt. Dawn, what's your last name?
It's Brost.
Want to spell that for me?
This is Debbie talking, and it's Brost.
All right, and Debbie, your last name is Hahnemann, but I don't know how to spell it.
Hahnemann.
Okay. All righty. Good enough. I should have gotten that from you yesterday. I'm sorry about that. So.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Now
yep.
Joining.
Wild Bird Habitat Store, Dave Titterington, Lincoln, Nebraska.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Oh, good morning. How'd things go yesterday? Pretty good?
As far as I know, how'd you think they went?
Got a lot to do with education here, you know?
Yeah, it does.
Now joining.
Robert and Sarah from Armstrong Milling. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing?
Doing good. We have Dave Titterington on here and Dawn and Debbie from Red River so far.
Great. I'm using a different speakerphone today. I'm wondering if you can hear us better.
Yes.
I can hear
you. Yeah, thanks for switching the speakerphone. When Sarah said a couple things yesterday, she was way in the background, you know, like she was way far away from the speaker.
Yeah, I listened to it on the recording last night. I couldn't hear we were both pretty far away. But we are up in Canada, so it is a long distance. Talk to you later. I'm going to put it on mute now.
I don't think so.
Yeah, Sue, and this, if you could send me the recordings of these two conference calls.
Yeah, I did yesterday. You should have it in your... in your inbox.
Okay, I've been busy. I haven't checked my email yet.
Okay.
Hi, Sue.
Yeah?
On another note, I just want to let you know that I'd heard from other people that were at the...
Bonnie Regalia, Birders Garden in San Carlos, California.
You heard what, Rob?
I just heard from others that were at the convention, the Wild Bird Feeding Industry Convention, and they were saying we had the best slate of speakers ever.
Yes.
So it was very well received.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good to hear. Thank you, Rob. Good morning, Bonnie.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing good. We've got a few more people on the phone besides me and Rob, so we're glad to have you join us again.
Thank you.
I feel like I ought to tell a joke or something.
Yeah, but... got prepared today.
Yeah.
I'm in California. We can talk about the rains, but other than that.
Well, you're getting some, aren't you?
Oh, God. It's awful. We're flooded.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's either you're burning up or you're drowning.
That one. Yes.
Yep. Yep. Seems like it's that way all over.
Yeah, it is.
So
what is the topic this morning?
Today we're going to talk about the path to engagement and purchase.
Now joining
okay.
Nancy Weinstein, Weinstein and Associates.
Here comes Nancy. She can explain it a little more. Hey, Nancy.
Yeah.
Yes. Bonnie just asked what we're going to be talking about this morning, and so I told her the
now
path
joining.
To engagement
Emily.
And purchase.
Hello.
So if you
Hi.
Want to add a little more information to that.
Brands. Sure. So we're going to be talking about how people discover wild bird feeding and how they find their way into
Melissa,
the activity Watt, and become more
all
deeply involved.
Wild Bird Store.
Hello?
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 Okay.
Hello?
Who all is here?
Everybody.
Everybody. Terrific. Okay. Sue, did you want to start us off at all?
Well, I do, and then I think you probably better kind of do a roll call here to make sure we know who's on the call. So
good idea.
All right. And I can do that if you want me to. Guys, on behalf of the WBFI and the board of directors and all of the companies and people involved in the big project, we really appreciate your time and your sharing your insights and information this morning. This is a project to grow the industry, to make the pie bigger, and we need your insights and your experiences in order to make this project a success. We feel we are working with top-notch researchers in Nancy Weinstein and Emily and Tim Coffey, and we are looking forward to getting the information to you so you can start using it probably sometime early next year, maybe March or April. So we're going to be moving pretty quickly to get everything to you because we know that you need this information. So with that being said, I'd kind of like to make sure who's on the call. I know Rob Gunston and Sarah are here. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Yes.
Okay. Dawn and Debbie from Red River?
Yep.
Okay. Is Angel here? I know Bonnie's here, right?
Yes.
Is Eric Moore here? Melissa Black, I heard you come on, right?
Yes.
Okay, Lindsay Nifong, I heard you come on.
Yep, I'm here.
Tracy, are you here? Okay, Dave Titterington, I heard you.
Yes.
Okay, and then we've got Nancy.
Yes.
And Emily.
Yes.
And do
Is
we
Teresa
have Teresa
on the call?
Pardon me?
Is Teresa on the call?
No.
Okay.
Is Tim here? Okay. So we're missing Teresa, Eric, and Tracy, and Tim.
Okay. So, and is Angel here? I didn't hear a response.
No.
No, she's not here.
Okay. Okay.
So.
All right. Well.
Take it away.
All righty. If those people join us, they can just come on in and catch up. This is Emily, and I really appreciate all of you being on the call today. Just a couple of quick things before we get into our conversation. First of all, I want you to know that what we're really interested in are your perceptions about customers. And there's really no right or wrong answers. Tell us what you really think. I do want to stress we only have an hour, and there's a lot of people on the call. So please keep your comments short and keep them on topic. Okay, I may have to cut somebody off if we start going into a different area. So please don't let that hurt your feelings. I just have to make sure we cover all of this in the time we have. I also really would like to hear from everybody because all of your comments are very important. So I may call on some of you to speak up, and if so, please do participate. And everybody else, please give your associates a chance to talk as well. I would appreciate it if when you speak, you would just start out by saying your first name so that we can identify who's talking since we can't see you. And the only other thing I want to say up front is that If you are on a speakerphone, if you could please try and stay as close to the speaker as possible. When we had our initial call yesterday, some people faded out a bit when they got away too far away from their speaker. Let's get going. And as you know, the topic today is to talk about the specific path or the process that people go through when they decide to feed wild birds, and then what the process is when they actually purchase the necessary feeders and food and everything else. So let's start with the path to purchase. Tell me, if you would, I'm interested in how people get started in bird feeding, if there's really a specific factor that motivates them or something that really motivates them to get started. Okay, and if I could, I'm just going to pick someone. How about Bonnie? What do you think?
Well, lots of times people will come in because one of their friends is feeding birds. They were at their house. They saw it. They were referred to the store. And those become the best customers because there's a network there. There's a community happening.
Ah, okay. So their friends are feeding and suggest they get involved as well?
Yes.
Okay. How about anybody else? Does anybody have anything to add to that as far as reasons?
This is Dave, Wildbird Habitat. Letting people know through marketing, because we've got a lot of retailers out there. Anybody can sell bird feeders. Anybody can sell bird seed, and they do. And a lot of people in big box stores, it might be almost impulse that started or something on TV. And so one of the things that we do at Wildbird Habitat, we have about a $30,000 a year marketing budget.
Okay, Dave, I'm so sorry. I'm going to have to cut you off already because right now I really just want to focus on why and how people get started. We'll talk about marketing and such in a bit. Okay?
It's getting the information out there to them to let them know. Whether it's at a big box store, impulse buying, whether they see a bird feed commercial on TV by a big box retailer. So that's one thing that makes them start thinking about it is hearing about it.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. How about, let's see, who else is there? Melissa?
This is Melissa. I think a lot of times, too, if they come from a family of bird feeders, like they said, well, my parents always fed the birds, or my grandmother always fed the birds.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have... there are quite a few nature programs in schools around here, and their kids may come home and say, you know, we're feeding birds there, or something like that, and they'll come in and want to buy a feeder so the kids can do it at home.
Okay. And is that recommended by the schools, or do the kids just decide on their own they want to do it at home?
I think the kids just decide on their own. I don't think it's pushed by them, but so many have nature trails, watch birds, a nature section. I think it's just an extension. The kids come home excited and think, okay, we'll go look at it. And then everybody gets hooked.
Okay. What else? Anybody else have some input here? Sarah?
I was going to say it's kind of similar, but just in general, in different nature groups, there might be people that consider themselves birders. And they like to watch the birds, but maybe they've never considered feeding.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, as well as conservation areas.
So what is the factor, the thing that gets them to start thinking about, maybe I should do this at home?
Well, I'd say if they appreciate the birds, then they realize if I like these birds and I feed them, I'll be able to see them in my own backyard regularly. I'd say that would be the draw.
Okay. Okay, what else? Are there any?
I've got a couple here. It's Rob Gunstone.
Okay.
One is getting a job in the industry, whether it's at a retail store selling the products or a manufacturer making the products. You hear about it, and then you may start it. The other thing is gifting. You get a bird feeder for Christmas or a bird bell in your stocking or a little seed treat or something along those lines or a bird book.
Mm-hmm.
And then like Sarah was alluding to is these conservation areas, like I can think of a great one like Ding Darling Park down in Sanibel, Florida is something where people will walk through and they'll see all these birds in nature, and they have little signs posted along the trails to encourage people to look or spot
now
the birds out in the woods.
Teresa Wozniak, Keith Products. Thank you.
Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Rob. You got cut off there.
I think, well, just the last thing I was adding to the conservancy experience or conservation areas. With local stores or local companies get involved with their local nature park and they put up little photos or information panels about birding, and then that gets people thinking about it.
Okay, great. You know, in regard to gifting, who decides and why might they decide to give bird feeding materials as a gift? How did they decide to do that?
Well, because this day, because one thing, it's a gift that gives year round. It's not something that's temporary. It's something that can become permanent.
Okay. And what's the motivation, do you think, for them to go, oh, a bird feeder or something like that as a gift?
Well, because the individual buying the gift may feed birds. There again, they may have seen an ad or a commercial related to birds. They might have been, like they were saying, at a nature center where they have a bird feeding garden, which
mm-hmm.
we have numerous around here, and that could be one thing that gives them the idea that that would make a really nice gift.
Okay. So do you think that's pretty much an impulse decision? Or is it something they plan out? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Impulse is it something people see and are attracted to?
Okay.
This is Melissa, and what I've encountered, too, is a lot of parents will buy it if they feed birds for their growing children. You know, we've had them, their kids bought a house, and they want to set up a bird system for them, a pole system for them. So it usually comes, in my experience, from someone who already feeds birds and wants to introduce other people to feeding the birds.
Okay. And I also heard some talk of family tradition. What kind of traditions are there that might encourage somebody to decide to start feeding birds?
Personally, this is Rob again. I started feeding birds when I was 3 or 4 years old, and I have fond memories with my grandparents, you know, climbing up the snowbanks and actually being as high as the bird feeder so I could fill the feeder from standing on top of the shoveled snow. And so that was something that, you know, I've always got in my memory as a fond experience with my, grandparents and family. So.
Okay, and so that's something you'd want to pass along?
That's a pass along, and it's a very good, if you go back to yesterday's discussions about feelings, you know, that's a very warm, happy feeling and thought of those days. And seeing all the grosbeaks, evening grosbeaks, which I never see anymore around here, but, there's a whole story behind all that. One other thing on gifts, we do these trade shows, and we handed out at one trade show quite a few hundred of these bird bells, and we were giving them out to just consumers walking through the show, and we had a lot of new immigrants to our country that had never even seen or thought of them, and they would look at me and they'd hold the bird bell in their hand and they would question what to do with it. You know, like they wouldn't even understand, and they'd sort of be perplexed with this thing, and then you'd say, you put it in a tree, and the birds will just come. And they were fascinated. So that kind of a gift can spur maybe generations of this to come. Who knows?
Okay. Well, think about the steps that people might go through when they're deciding to start wild bird feeding? Are there specific steps you can think of? And in fact, Lindsay, do you have some thoughts on that?
Specific steps on how they get into the hobby?
Yeah, how they maybe they go through a couple steps before they finally go, yeah, I'm going to go buy something.
I don't really know about steps. I think people need to understand how to participate in order to be able to make a purchase. And what I mean by that is they need to understand the type of feeder or the type of seed that they're going to feed the birds, and then what seed is going to attract what birds. So I think that for me, for example, I got into the industry because I started my position with Classic Brands. And my first step was to figure out how to actually attract birds. So I needed to figure out what seed to use, what feeders to use, what birds were around my area that I could attract.
Okay. And did you do, or do people typically do some research if they're thinking about...
Tim Coffey, Launch Force Strategy.
If they're thinking about potentially feeding, what do they do? Do they go to a store? Do they do some research? Debbie, do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, there's a lot of applications out there you can do a research. I'm sure people can Google information to get started. I'm sure they've talked to networked. Generally, they already know someone who's been feeding the birds. They can just network that way. I think they visit stores or it's an impulse. So I'm sure they do somewhat some research before they get into it.
Okay. How about anybody else? Who haven't I heard from here? Teresa, I heard you sign on. Any thoughts on this?
Well, I really think, if I need information, I tend to go to a more expert type store. Like I wouldn't, like Wild Birds Unlimited or something like that. I would want to go to a store where somebody might have some expertise and they could help me with the problem. Maybe a garden center if they offer wild bird products. And, you know, something like going to the grocery store would be just a convenience thing, like I'm just picking up some bird seed. But I think, I think maybe there needs to be some education at the retail level.
Okay.
You know, other than the place where that's dedicated to that particular type of product.
Okay. Well, thinking about consumers, maybe yourselves or maybe other people that you've talked with or have seen in stores or whatever, what do people typically do if they sort of get an idea that it might be fun to feed birds? What do they do next? How do they get into it? And let's see, again, who haven't I heard from that much here? How about, who didn't I hear from? Dawn, did you speak already?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Kind of isn't that sort of what we've been saying, how people are getting into it? I mean, if I am interested in something, I would probably ask the people that I work with, hey, did any of you do whatever? So the same way, I would ask the people I work with or my friends and see if anybody out there that I already know has any expertise that I could glean. And after I get a little bit from them, then I would probably do more research on my own.
Okay. Bonnie, as a retailer, what have you heard from your customers as far as they become interested, and then what do they do after they decide? What are the steps they go through?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
This is Bonnie. I'm not too sure what steps they go through. Some of them will continue to to find out what birds they're feeding.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them might get interested in the local bird walks.
Okay.
It just kind of depends on the particular person. Some people just put up their feeders, feed in it, and just enjoy it with their morning coffee.
Okay. All right. How about anybody else? Any other thoughts on what they do once they decide?
This is Melissa. And I think sometimes when I talk to customers, they have a spark bird, some bird that they've seen in their yard that sparks their interest in it. And, you know, it could be a goldfinch. For me, it was a pileated woodpecker. And I think the next step is, well, then let's find out what that bird was and why it's so pretty and what does it eat. And then the next step would be to go to somebody who actually knows something about it, which would, to me, be a wild bird store, a specialty store. Because I've had people come in and say, you know, I saw this and that. How can I get them to stay in my yard?
Interesting. Okay. I'm sorry, go ahead.
This is, with 61 million people feeding birds, a small minority of those people know about wild bird specialty type birds. A lot of people will go into a big box store and look at the colorful displays, right or wrong, of cardinals on a box of feeder, images of birds on bags of seed. And that's where a lot of people get started because a lot of people, like I say, know you're there. A lot of people really don't know that much about wild bird specialty stores. If they did, the market of share of wild bird seeds sold at specialty stores would probably be a lot higher than 7%.
Okay. And what about other kinds of stores? I heard big box stores. I heard specialty stores. Are there other stores where people might go for information?
A garden center, major national chain. I went in there, tested them, said, I'd like to attract cardinals. And the gentleman helping me looked around. He saw a squirrel-proof feeder with a picture of a cardinal on it. And he says, this is the feeder you need right here. That's what they get.
Okay. What other kinds of stores, and how do they decide which store to start at?
This is Lindsay from Classic Brands. We've actually done consumer research on this and where they shop. And the number one location that they actually buy birds, feeders, and seed is Walmart. The second location is usually like a Lowe's. Lowe's, Home Depot, and then it goes kind of to like co-ops, and independent garden centers are in there too, but the number one location, and Amazon's on there too, but the number one location is Walmart.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. Do you have the sense that people will start out by going into a physical brick-and-mortar store, or do they do some online research first? Anybody?
We found that, this is Dawn, that people probably have seen something in person or in a store, and then they go online and research it from there.
Okay. How about anybody
Amazon
else?
Amazon tends to be the go-to for people.
Interesting. Now, is that to learn about bird feeding, or is it to actually make a purchase, or both?
Probably both, but it's more to probably decide what product, because Amazon seems to have a million things they can compare. So they've seen something, then they go on and they look at it, and then they see what else is out there.
Okay. All right. How about, somebody had mentioned grocery stores earlier. How about those or pet stores, those kinds of places? Is that somewhere where people might go to research?
Yeah, this is Bonnie. I don't know whether they're researching it, but they're picking up seed at grocery stores and pet stores because they're there and it's convenient.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily going to get feeders or the information. Duncraft is doing a lot. They're buying a lot of email addresses, so you'll get a random. I get an email from Duncraft every single day, plus his catalogs at least once a week.
And I'm sorry, what retailer is that from?
That's Duncraft. He's a manufacturer.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And,
well,
they're spending a lot over the internet with the internet's ability to search your interest. They will give you the email addresses of people who have shown interest in like things, and then you can send them an email as an advertisement. So, as I said, I get Duncraft every single day. I get an email from Duncraft with advertising something.
Interesting. Well, how about the rest of you? Are you aware of either online email promotions or direct mail, actually through the mail, that might entice someone to go into a particular store? Who haven't I heard from lately? Teresa, what do you think?
Oh, well, you know, us being a supplier of bird feeders, suet, seed cakes, I mean, we're really coming in from the perspective of how do we merchandise and bring our product into the areas where we can have the best distribution. So, mm-hmm. you know, we try to work with the big box stores because that's where you're going to get your most volume. You know, your and we do have online. We don't really sell online. We do sell through our own website, but we do sell through Amazon. You know, I don't know how much I can really add to that. I think what we try to do is try to refresh the look of what we offer,
mm-hmm.
Maybe the variety of the flavors of the suet, and we're always looking for new styles of birdhouses to try to keep people interested and get the retailers interested in buying more. But I think also the consumer is looking for something new and different, something more appealing or something better for the birds.
Okay.
And they want the variety of for different types of birds.
Well, what about any other folks here? Tracy, did I hear from Tracy? Is she there?
She's not on the call.
That's why I haven't heard from her, I guess. Okay. Well, how about those of you who are in the retail end of the industry? Do you get the sense that there's people choosing particular places to go based on information they get in the mail, information online? How do they decide where to go?
I can tell you one thing is when you have a front page flyer, that attracts a lot of people with a big discount on it.
Now, a flyer, how is the flyer distributed?
Well, you know, like an old paper flyer, mail flyer. I mean, there's more and more online flyers now, but I still think in our area, anyways, there's still some that are out that are pretty popular. I mean, bird food doesn't get in flyers very often, especially at Mass. It's not a high priority item. It's not a top of mind product like your toilet paper. I mean, that's going to bring
mm-hmm.
in a lot more people than bird food. But
mm-hmm.
if the retailer can get, you know, the flyers in the hands with an aggressive ad, that certainly will move a lot of bird food.
Interesting. Okay. Well, how do people, once they've made a decision that they're interested in this and they go somewhere, how do they decide what types of food, what types of feeders they're going to use? Do they make a decision prior to going somewhere? What sense do you have about the customers when they come in to do that? Do they go to multiple stores?
This is Bonnie, and I'm in a completely different situation. I don't know where a lot of the demographics of where the other people are from. I'm in the Bay Area, California. I am 2 miles from the center of Facebook and very close to the center of Google. We have a completely different problem here. People tend to Google. They'll go on and search Google. And hopefully you show up.
Mm-hmm.
People and say, I saw you on the internet, looked at your website, I'm interested in, you know, getting a bird feeder and some seed. And that's basically what's happening for us. Newspapers, things are not bringing people into my store.
So when you say they go on to Google, do they Google bird feeding or do they Google looking for retail locations? Or what are they usually searching for?
They Google for a location, but they're looking for, they'll put Google bird seed or bird feeders or bird house, nesting. Mm-hmm. They will Google that, and then unfortunately, you know, Chewy comes up first, and some of the other big ones will come up. But if they're looking for something local, they eventually will find you.
Okay. So do you have a sense that many people see Chewy and some of these other large online retailers and just immediately go there rather than going somewhere in person?
Yes.
Okay. How about the rest of you? Do you have that sense that that's what customers are doing as well?
Well, this is Dave. One of the things that a lot of people look at big box stores as competition, I look at it as an entry level for a lot of people. And there again, that's where they get started. A lot of people get started feeding, like they said, number one, Walmart. That's where they get started. Then it's my job through marketing to let them know about our business, about what we offer, about what we can do for them as far as bird feeding. And that generally brings those people over. And once they come to our store, they realize that what they were doing at Walmart really didn't give them the information or the satisfaction in feeding birds because of the lack of information, and we gain customers that way. We also gain customers over social media through our web store. We're highly ranked organically, so if you pull up Wild Bird, you're probably going to see us. So, I mean, it takes a lot of different factors to get those people to come into your store.
Ah, interesting. So
I agree with Dave. I'd throw up Gunstone here again. And I think the big thing there is Dave's experience. You know, like not only his experience is, I don't know Dave, but it sounds like he's got a lot of experience in this business. But his experience and his helpfulness to the consumers. Bird feeding is a one-bag education. People will go to a big box store and they'll buy bag full of something that the birds don't eat, or it'll have the wrong pictures of the bird on the bag, or it won't have the proper information on it. I know manufacturers are trying to do better and better jobs now than they've ever done before, but we're still a very young category, and I think that's a huge thing for people that they try it, and this is our risk, is some people will try a product at a big box store. They may buy a $50 feeder with it. They'll go home and have a very poor experience, and then they may not go and do it again. Some might go and find the, you know, that are very keen and say, look, this didn't work. Where do I go? And even some of the big box employees would say, well, go down to Wild Birds Unlimited. They'll help you because I don't have a clue. Or wherever, you know.
Well, do people realize, do you think, when they go into, say, a big box store and buy some supplies, do they realize they're not getting enough information, or don't they even recognize that?
People are real visual. When they look at a box that has a cardinal on it, they figure that's what I need to attract that bird. And just like this gentleman was just saying, a lot of it is not false but misleading information. And there again, wrong bag of seed, wrong feeder, what they're trying to do. If it doesn't work out, a lot of times they lose interest. And it's the responsibility, I would say, of the wild bird specialty stores or those who deal with wild birds on a regular retail basis to be able to pull those consumers into the store and educate them.
And okay. This is Bonnie. I agree. And the other thing is all the packaging is so bad. If you look at the packaging and the feeders in the packaging, you've got a feeder that's full of millet, which is wrong. But I don't think when people come in the store, we have just recently changed our approach. When people come in the store and say they want to get a feeder, I want to feed birds, the first thing we do is trot them over to the seed section, and we educate them about seed, and we ask them what birds they want to attract, and then we go to the feeders. It's that seed. The seed is the most important thing to the success of backyard birding.
Interesting. And do people know that? Do customers know that?
No, they don't, because media is not talking about, or the internet is not talking about, quality seed. They're selling feeders. They are not selling really the experience of backyard birding.
Okay. So do you think that many customers reach a point where they realize they don't know enough, or did they not even know that?
This is Melissa, and I think someone mentioned it before. Some people may just give up.
Mm-hmm.
And those people we really can't do a lot about. It's the people who have developed an interest. And I've had a lot of customers come in and just ask questions. You know, the same thing. I put the bird feeder out, I put the seed out, and I'm not seeing whatever they thought they were going to see. And that's where the specialty stores have to step in. It's the education. The other thing someone mentioned is it's the experience. It's not just buying the feeder. It's not just the seed. They're looking for an experience. And
mm-hmm.
if they don't find it there, they will look someplace else or give up.
Okay. Okay. So is it really a matter of if they don't have success that they may move on and go somewhere else, or is it a matter of something else? I mean, how do they know that they need to go somewhere else?
Again, it's Melissa. I think it's the same thing, is if they don't have success or if they're not attracting the kind of birds that they first attempted to try to attract. Again, some of them will just stop and say, well, it's not going to work in my yard, and some of them will continue to try to get more information.
Okay.
I agree with that, but that information has to be out there so people know that there are birding retailers or people with birding experience in the retail industry. We have to let them know that we're there to serve them.
And this is Melissa again. I've had people come in and ask, do you know anything about birds? Because they're used to going to a place like a big box place where they really don't know much about birds and there's not someone there to answer the question. So part of it is educating that we actually do know about birds. Because
mm-hmm.
a lot of them assume that we're just like them and we just sell the stuff and nobody knows anything about the birds.
Well, why don't people just, if they decide, gee, I want to do this, I want to try feeding birds, why might they not just go to a specialty store in the first place?
This is Bonnie. They don't know about it. When I got into the industry 26 years ago, the hope was is that the franchises would promote backyard birding and promote their store and kind of make marketplace larger. There isn't promoting going on for individual independent backyard birding store. Not a lot of which is a problem, but we really need help from the manufacturers, the seed industry to start getting the word out, start helping us promote. Individually, we can't spend as much money as what Dave does. We really need that help badly from the industry.
Well, and to get that word out there, it does take time. It does take some expense. For example, 50% of what we do at our store is education with the customers, and education that they can take home and use, and it actually works, and that's what brings them back. And our seed, we go through about 14,000 pounds of bird seed a week in about less than 3,000 square feet of two stores.
Hmm. Well, are there any classes or information sessions, anything like that, that are offered to the public that might teach them about birding?
At Wildbird Habitat, we do a lot of public outreach. We teach classes at the University of Nebraska with the Ollie class. We're always looking for opportunities at nature centers to be able to educate people whether through sponsorship programs, donations, creating curriculum. That's another thing that the people with birding stores need to be able to do, is go out into the public and promote their business.
Okay. How about the media? Do you have a feeling, or are you aware of articles in newspapers or segments on TV shows that talk about your industry and encourage people to get some good information?
Rarely.
I don't see.
Rarely. We don't get articles in the major newspapers out here, or even the more local papers out here on backyard birding.
No?
Okay. There's a lot of community newspapers. There's a lot of neighborhood newspapers that are always constantly looking for people to submit articles, and that's a great place to go to submit articles at no cost, press releases at no cost to these local newspapers, neighborhood newspapers, where they'll print articles on attracting birds, feeding birds, maybe attracting purple martins, numerous articles on birding. But again, it's retailer that has to go out and confront these people and talk to them about it.
Do any of you have a sense that kind of an effort brings people in?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
I don't think it does.
Pardon me?
We do a lot of it, and it does bring people in. There again, with 61 million birders, people feeding birds out there, all we have to do is get the information that we exist, that we have the knowledge, that we can help them, and you'll get them in your store, but you got to let them know.
Well, let me ask you this. Once somebody decides they're going to feed birds and they become educated as to what to buy and what to use, where do they buy after that? Let's say that they decided on a certain type of seed. Do they go to multiple stores? Do they look for the best deal? Do they purchase online?
There again, it's all about educating them on the quality of product that you have, and you have to have quality product. We have people come in that will say, I'll never buy seed from Walmart again, because they have to get a Kansas weed guide to figure out what's growing under the feeder. There You got to teach them how to read labels on bird seed. They read them on pet foods, their food. This is how you read labels on packages of bird seed, and that'll tell you everything there is to know about it.
Thinking about what they're doing today, what consumers are doing today, what does anybody think they're doing in terms of, once they know what they want, how do they decide where they're going to buy it? And who else haven't I heard from recently? How about Melissa?
I think that our customers tend to be very loyal, and they may have tried other bird seeds. It does depend. If price point is very important to them, they're probably not going to come to us. They're going to go to Walmart, or they're going to go to another big box store. Although a lot of the big box stores are now carrying bird seed that's fairly good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have to, again, learn to what to look for. And what I found is that once the customer seemed to find you and develop some sort of community, and we have a loyalty program, they will stick with you.
Okay. Well, are there – hello? I'm sorry. Are there other factors that might encourage them to stick with a particular store or a particular website for buying? Loyalty programs? What else might there be?
Success.
Teresa, I would say variety. You know, do they have a good selection of different products that would be suitable for different parts of the country for attracting different types of birds? I think the range of product and then pricing would be important, delivery options and shipping.
Mm-hmm. Is delivery or shipping a big deal? I mean, do you get the sense that people will purchase online so they don't have to
now
lug
joining.
Something home from the store?
Hi, it's Bonnie again.
Yeah, I think they would like that convenience. I mean, a lot of people are very busy if they can get it sent to their house. And they don't have to go to a special store to go get it. I think it's helpful to them. I think there's also people who would like to go to the store and see what's available there. But they probably will go online and search. If they don't know where to get it, they're probably going to go online and say, where can I get it nearby? And that'll be their first step getting out there and getting the product.
Okay. Do you have a sense that people will purchase from multiple places? Once they're educated, they know what they want. Do they buy at different places?
A lot of it depends on what the selection is. If you've got a larger selection than anybody else, they're going to come back to you because they can't get it anywhere else or they can't get the quality anywhere else.
Okay.
I'd just like to add, part of this industry and part of this category is the fun part about going to these stores with a big selection and talking with the owners and getting the experience and understanding which birds are in their area, because the avid birders want to see the different kinds and the different beauty of all the different types of birds. I've heard of customers with over 9 styles of feeders in their backyard that they're constantly filling up with different products, and there's a seasonal aspect, different times of year when people come in, so you can really play people to come back for other reasons, different times of years. And I think it comes back to, somebody had said it earlier, it's very expensive to get that word out in some ways. Social media has helped a lot. By setting up your own Facebook page. But it's getting the mind share. It's not market share. It's getting the mind share of people to get them to think about the product, to get them to think about the season, to feel sympathetic for the birds, to keep their cats indoors. Lots of fun.
Well, fun is an interesting thing. Do people choose where they're going to purchase based on how enjoyable the process is? Does anybody get a sense of that?
This is Melissa, and I think that we're not just selling bird seed and bird feeders, is we're selling an experience. And I think that that's what people are looking for when they spend their money. They don't just want to buy a thing. They want to buy an experience that comes along with it. So I think that goes along with the fun. You come into a store, and the specialty stores are lucky. We're lucky because we have a lot in common with our customers. They're basically passionate about feeding birds. And I think when you turn your store into an experience, it helps.
Interesting.
And that experience comes from education, from providing the information to them. But also, one thing that a lot of people back to us is a lot of products have warranties on them from 5 years to lifetime. And if you sell product to a person and they have to go to the manufacturer, try to run them down if something happens to their feeder. I know Bonnie and I talked about this yesterday. If somebody buys a feeder at our store, even if it doesn't have a warranty, if something happens to it, they bring it in. We do all the repairs right here, and people really appreciate that.
Ah, interesting. Okay. And then what about the actual salespeople or the people working in the store? Do you think that makes a difference? Lindsay, do you get a sense that that's something that's important?
Absolutely. I think people, I think the really, especially when you come into the hobby, the only way that you can be successful is if you have knowledge of how to the certain birds that you're looking for. So I think that the people in the stores who have knowledge, I think, is absolutely beneficial, because once people are successful and they get excited about the hobby, they'll keep going and they'll build on it and buy more feeders and participate more often. I think where the issue comes in is obviously, garden centers, independent retailers, they have the people who have the knowledge. But the issue comes in when people go to big box retailers and they have absolutely no idea how to sell, or even they don't know anything about bird feeders or bird seed or bird feeding in general.
Okay. Well, what about online? Are there websites? Are there social media sites in general that you have a sense people are going to learn and to get reinforcement? Anybody? Or not really?
Today, yeah, with the internet, a lot of people do search online. A lot of people do search for information online. On our website, we try to provide a lot of information for different areas of birding, whether it's bird watching, bird identification, bird feeding, bird to a nest box. There's a lot of other great websites out there that do offer good information on birding, and I think people in this day and age, when we track where people find us, a lot of it's on mobile devices. So mobile devices are becoming more popular to use for finding out more information about birds and birding.
Okay. Any other thoughts on that from anyone else?
Go ahead. Sorry.
This is Bonnie, and this may be a side. I did mention Dave and I had a talk yesterday after the conference. Cornell is such a great site for identification, iBird. They've got a lot of things going. They've got a great reputation going. They're going to be doing the winter feeder watch. They do not in any way promote good seed, nor do they promote backyard birding stores. Mm. And I think that's really a loss. I looked at their feeder page. You can go to Cornell and go to their feeder project, feeder watch project. And if you look at the pictures that they're showing, they show probably a Perky Pet quality seed feeder, basically filled with millet. And the first pictures for their winter bird count is a quail and a hummingbird. And if you look at the pictures, none of them are correct. And they do not say anything about filling feeders with quality seed, nor do they promote our stores. And I have a real problem with that not being adjusted.
Interesting. Okay. Well, what about reasons that people might choose not to go back to a store or a site? I know several of you have mentioned, well, if the birds don't come, then they might just give up. Is there anything else that could be turning off customers to bird feeding?
I think
anything?
This is Lindsay Nifong. I think it's, I have heard from consumers that it sometimes is a hassle as far as it can be dirty, and it's upkeep. So you have to clean your feeders, maintain them, refill them. So I think that could be a deterrent as well.
Okay, so the actual process of it. What about the stores? Is there anything about stores that might discourage them? Or websites?
Well, you want to make sure your store is well organized, merchandised. One thing that when we go to trade shows is we usually have somebody converting retailer how to merchandise their stores, but they're using examples of shoe stores, apparel stores, gift stores, candle stores. When you're merchandising in a birding retail store, it's a whole different type of merchandising that's really not related to a lot of ways other stores merchandise. It's organization. I'd really like to do an article on how to merchandise in a birding retail store because it's so unique. It's totally different than how to put in a shoe store.
Interesting. Okay. Okay, so do you have a sense that some retailers are better at it than others?
not that they're better at it, but like I say, birding retail is such a specialized type business that it in and of itself has a whole different process of merchandising than a lot of gift stores, candle stores, apparel stores. But
sure,
that's where we get
sure.
from those merchandisers.
Well, tell me, all of you, if you would just tell me what comes to mind that could be done to encourage more people to participate in wild bird feeding or to step up their participation, to start doing more and buying more. Who haven't I heard from lately? How about, I don't know, Teresa, have you any ideas?
Well, just listening to everybody, I'm thinking there's a couple things. You kind of need a national level support campaign for feeding wild birds. You know, the winter's here. It's time to help wild birds get through the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you need some attention to it at a national level. How you get that, I don't know. You got to get somebody to take the story and put it somewhere at a very visible level. And I'm also thinking that you kind of need a website that would be like sort of a bird supplier central. So you could just go and search on your zip code where the nearest suppliers of bird feed are. And mm-hmm. that would, but then you'd have to promote that website too. You know, it's an issue of money, and maybe have a cooperative advertising organization where all the suppliers get together, you know, pool their money together and then build the site. That's just some thoughts that I had. But, I think PR would be helpful, bringing attention to the issue either at a national or regional level. And, I'm not quite sure where to go. You got to get somebody to carry the story, like a national news network or something like
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Just got to ask, I guess. Ask and find somebody.
How about anybody else? Rob, any thoughts come to mind for you?
One thought that comes to my mind is the industry almost needs a spokesperson. We need a celebrity. We need somebody that can, connect with young families in that age group that would be able to, reach out through social media, somebody that's got a million followers that you could look to as somebody that's cool, fun, and loves birds and loves to go for hikes and nature and walking and all the rest of it.
This is Melissa. And also when there's something about birds in the news, it tends to be negative. You know,
yes.
Like the bird flu and West Nile virus. And there never seems to be any entity that counters that or puts it into perspective. There's just, the thing about, I think it was bird flu or West Nile was in the Wall Street Journal even.
Yes.
And there's nothing that would counter that. People are just left with that. You know, I had a neighbor that read something in Wisconsin, in the Wall Street Journal, it came over to me and, did you read that? That's horrible. You shouldn't be feeding the birds.
So something to counter negative press.
me saying something from our store means nothing when it's that big. So there's nothing that comes to represent the bird feeding industry with information, correct information.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay. Well, any other ideas, any other tie-ins with other kinds of products or industries that might be advantageous?
Well, Ray David, I think, made a very valiant effort with birding business, and I think before health issues, I think he had a vision of even expanding that. I have a vision of the wild bird feeding industry being that spokesperson, but it's going to take bringing a lot of retailers of birding products into the wild bird feeding industry, which a lot of people probably don't even know about the wild bird feeding industry that have retail businesses. It's going to take a way, we need to find a way to pull those people in to become a larger group and to utilize the wild bird feeding industry as that spokesperson, as a way to help get knowledgeable information out to counter West Nile virus, which even bird flu, West Nile virus, some people think, I don't want birds in my yard because of West Nile. You're not going to get West Nile from birds, but they don't know that because, like she said, counters it. I see a real vision of the wild feeding industry being part of this whole thing.
Okay. Well,
this is Bonnie. Ahead. I really agree with what's being said. Is the Wild Bird Feeding Institute has always been considered to be more the franchise or the manufacturers or the distributors. It's never been perceived as a support for the retail level, and we need it. We need a centralized. I had belonged to a franchise, and it was terrific because you knew the stores you could call and ask questions. There were marketing ideas. It was a great place to be. I love this idea of having a national website where people could Google backyard birding, and something would come up and say, "Put in your zip code," and have those local stores come up. Instead of all other things, I think it's a great idea, Melissa. I would love to see this put together overnight.
Okay. Well, you just mentioned something interesting about franchisees being able to go to other retailers. Is there any advantage to you folks in being able to reach out to each other in some way, or
Absolutely.
Reach out to others? Yeah.
Absolutely, because you're not isolated. I talked to Dave yesterday. I actually called Goldcrest and said, there is this guy, and I would like his telephone number. And so I called, we connected, and we talked for about a half an hour. It was a very valuable half an hour about what we were both experiencing and how to deal with it. To be set up. I think there should be a network set up. I think there should be a central training area where people who are in these stores who don't have a lot of information can go to some sort of annual seminar and get lots of information about backyard birding retailing and how to educate people. Same idea as franchises do.
It has to be affordable for a lot of the retailers, and some of this isn't affordable for a lot of the smaller birding specialty stores.
It is one of the most valuable things you can do for your business.
Is what, networking?
Is networking and go to a seminar and get that information. It's amazing. It's amazing what you can bring back.
Is there any interest, you think, in having online seminars or groups of some sort where you could discuss with each other without having to travel somewhere to a conference?
With I think that's a good thing, but I think it's really one of the reasons that I go to the shows is so that I can do one-on-one, meet my vendors, get to know Irwin of IRVA, get to know these different people and do a one-on-one. After that, we can do internet, but it's really good to have face-to-face and get to know people.
This is something that could be set up on a regional basis so people aren't traveling halfway across the country. It could be done on a regional basis.
Well,
This is Melissa, and I like that idea, but I also like the idea of an online resource because it could cover so many areas, and I agree that merchandising for a wild bird store is different than most others, and I don't think there's been enough attention paid to that.
Okay. Well, just in our last couple minutes here, if we could go back to customers, does anybody have any final suggestions that haven't already been expressed about what could be done to encourage people, individuals, to purchase more or to purchase different kinds of things in terms of wild bird feeding?
This is just Sarah from Armstrong, and we are a manufacturer that's trying to work with some big retailers and get them to push bird food. And I think what we come back to is trying to get them to see that it's a seasonal hobby. And so as they're promoting other seasonal products right now, as everyone's having Christmas sections and just like in the spring where everyone's putting out bulbs and different things like that, to think about bird food in that way, that there's different products that are great for spring, there's different products that are great for summer, and trying to get them to kind of put it in the mix of other things that they promote and they change up on a seasonal basis.
That makes sense. Okay. Anything else? Any other consumer ideas?
This is not a consumer idea. This is Bonnie with another thing. There is a wonderful book out called Feeding Wild Birds in America. And if you haven't read the history of feeding wild birds, it's really, really a good read for all the stores.
Okay. Great.
One thing I'd like to interject real quick is service, providing outstanding service, carrying product out, carrying bags of seed out, getting that bag of seed halfway home for the customer, not making the customer, having the customer carry his own seed out. Providing good customer service goes a long way to bringing those customers back to your store, no matter what the cost is.
Okay. Well, this has been great. Are there any other final last nuggets that somebody wants to make sure we all hear?
This is Sue, and I just want everyone on this call to know how much we appreciate all of this really super insight and discussion. We truly appreciate it, and I'll be sending the recording around as soon as I get the link to it from the conference call service provider. So be on the alert for that and give it a listen, and thank you all so much.
Yeah,
thank you
very, very much. This has been terrific.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye now.
Thank you.